Praise the Lord for another Lord's Day where He has brought us together to worship Him, to enjoy again being bathed in the sweet peace of forgiveness, being made friends with God through the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior, the one who came to earth and put on flesh during this time of Christmas where we remember the birth of Jesus Christ. As we look at today's text, seeking to learn how to be good fathers, dads, this is a message to us from Jesus Christ, the eternal Father. But also remember that Jesus Christ came and participated in being a child. He participated in being raised by human parents. Jesus Christ, our Savior, showing us both how to be father and how to be child. The title of today's sermon is Good Dads Have Dancing Hearts. And this is a message to us from Jesus Christ, dads. And my hope is that each of us will hear this as a message from Jesus Christ, not as Matt the preacher speaking to you dads, but us dads coming together to hear from Jesus Christ, our King, what it means to be a good dad. The text is, as you know, Romans 12, verses 5 through 11, which we looked at last week. And we learned about our Heavenly Father's loving discipline towards us, so that as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, we can understand what life's sufferings are all about. We have the answers. We know why we suffer. And it's good news, Christian. We go through difficulties because God loves us, because our Father in heaven cares for us. Listen to the words of Hugh Latimer, an Oxford-trained Anglican and reformer, faithful to the end, a martyr burned at the stake in 1555 under evil Queen Mary. Here's what he wrote before his death. "For like as sauces make lusty the stomach to receive meat, so affliction stirreth up in us a desire to Christ. For when we be in quietness, we are not hungry, we care not for Christ. But when we be in tribulation and cast into prison, then we have a desire to Him. Then we learn to call upon Him. Then we hunger and thirst after Him. Then we are desirous to feed upon Him. As long as we be in health and prosperity, we care not for Him. We be slothful. We have no stomach at all. And therefore these sauces are very necessary for us. Therefore it cometh of the goodness of God when we be put to taste the sauce of tribulation. For then He doth it to a good end, namely, that we should not be condemned with this wicked world. For these sauces are very good for us, for they make us more hungry and lusty to come to Christ and to feed upon Him." So Christian, as we looked at last week, all without exception, all of our pain and difficulties, all of our disappointments, all of our unmet longings, all of our broken dreams, everything that we go through in this life that hurts us in any way, as Christians, we know that all of these things have been included since the beginning in God's fatherly plan for our salvation. As corrections meant to lead us to repentance and change, or as strengthening events meant to grow our faith and make us mightier in the Lord, that is, more dependent upon Him. So when we suffer, it may be because we need to repent of living in the flesh and some way believing wrongly and living wrongly. Or it may be that we just need to have more faith. We need to be strengthened, like the athlete that runs the extra mile, like the stairs that you've seen the football players running up and down and up and down all day long. You think the coach is angry with them? Well, the coach might act angry, but a good coach isn't angry. A good coach knows what the athlete needs to be strengthened. So this endurance that we receive from God is a growth in our faith that He brings to us. So Christian, you may need to repent, or you may need to be strengthened in your faith, or perhaps both, in any difficulty that you go through. Now this week, the title, as I've said, is Good Dads Have Dancing Hearts. We're going to take a look at the text this week with an eye, dads, of learning how to be good fathers like our Heavenly Father. So let's stand and hear the Word of God. I'll read again from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 17. When we get to the verses 5 through 11 that you see in bold there, you'll notice that's the text of focus today. Please listen carefully. This is God's Word. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens, and scourges every son whom He receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but He for our profit, that we may be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. Thus ends the reading of God's Word. You may be seated. So the structure of today's message goes like this. First of all, dads, we are living examples of God the Father. Inside of our homes, we are living examples of God the Father. Next, good dads have dancing hearts. Good dads have dancing hearts, as revealed in their relationship with God, in their relationship with their wives, and in their relationship with their children. And next, dancing hearts have tender hands that are active in their children's lives, providing chastening love. And a word for children, children are to have a respectful and happy response to their daddy's leadership. And finally, some questions, some simple questions. Daddies, where are you? And then children, where are you? So that's where we're headed today. That's where we're going. First of all, dads are living examples of God the Father. Now, the text that we have before us today, this entire text, reveals to us that earthly fathers are a living example of our heavenly Father. Listen to some of the words that are in today's text. Speaks to you as sons. My son. God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? If you are without chastening, you are not sons. And so, the relationship that we've all had before our eyes of father to son is presented to us in this text as the earthly example that is meant to teach us all about our relationship with God our Father in heaven. Every father, now dads, this is true whether you admit it, this is true whether we like it, this is true on your good days, this is true on our bad days. Every father teaches his children about God the Father. Good dads, by their lives of loving leadership, teach imperfectly, but yet they teach truth. Imperfectly, not completely, but through lives of loving leadership, like Jesus, they teach truth about God our Father in heaven. Bad dads, and that's all of us at some point or another. Bad dads, by their lives of selfish disobedience, teach lies about God our Father. But every moment of every day, dads, we are teaching our children about God the Father. Every moment of every day. Inevitably, inescapably, you are teaching, you and I, we are teaching our children about God the Father. That's the way God designed the world. And so, for example, a dad that is absent is the loudest voice in a child's life. All of these homes across our nation, empty of dads, the loudest thing those children hear is the silence of no father. And that teaches them a lie about God the Father. That He is absent. He is distant. He does not care. He does not exist. And yet that Father is teaching those children. Which is why it's so important for us to hear the command of Scripture that true religion is to care for the orphan. For someone to come in and show them what a true father is. Not a lying father. Not a father who misrepresents God the Father. But a true father. So what is a good dad? What does it mean to be a good dad? What does it mean to be that representation before your children, dads, that is a good representation? You know, some of you might be sitting here, particularly daughters and wives, wondering what good this message is for you. Well, I will tell you very clearly. First of all, for you wives, it is very good for you if your husbands walk as they should inside your home. And we'll get to that section about husbands showing their dancing hearts by how they treat their wives. Children, you may be wondering, I've already alluded to a little bit of instruction that's directly coming to you. But listen, when your dads walk as they should inside your homes, it is great beauty and glory before your eyes. And it shapes you and strengthens you and makes your home a beautiful place. And when you see your daddy loving your mommy the way that Jesus loves the church, it is of great value and power in your life, little child. So moms, children, daughters, even though the words are directed first and most directly at dads in this sermon, understand that these words are also of great importance. This message is of great importance to you wives, to you daughters, to you children. So what is a good dad? Well, you know, sermons come and sermons go. And what are the things that you remember? I hope that you'll remember that good dads have dancing hearts. I hope that you'll remember, children, that good dads have dancing hearts. Dads, that you will remember that if you're a good dad, you have a heart that dances. What is man's chief end? What is man's chief end? To glorify God by enjoying Him forever. Dads, do you enjoy God your Father? Do you enjoy your wife? Do you enjoy your children? Do you enjoy life? Are you a dancing daddy? You know, where do I get this idea of dancing from? Like, Dr. Clark, what is this? It sounds all pretty and good, but you're making it up. I'm really not. The text before us is the phrase, partakers of His holiness, that we've read in Hebrews 12. That the Father's aim, God the Father's aim in our life, is it would be partakers of His holiness. His loving discipline comes to us to that end, to make us partakers of His holiness. Hebrews 6:7 uses the same word. The text goes, for the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. That text, receiveth blessing from God, is the same Greek word for partaker. Partaker, the direct meaning means to be a partner. To be a partner. That's where I get the idea of dancing. God comes to us. He initiates, we respond. It's a dance. Daddies, do you dance with your Heavenly Father as He comes to you and leads you? Do you drink in His rain that produces fruit in you? Another way this word is used. In Acts 2, they ate their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. It's a word used for eating. They did eat their meat. So being a partaker of God's holiness is like a dance. It's like receiving rain from above and producing fruit. It's like eating our food with gladness. Daddies, does your heart dance with God first and foremost? Are you partakers of God's holiness? Are we first and foremost worshiping God? Good dads at the foundation have received God's fatherly discipline with reverent and happy hearts, responding to the Lord who leads us in His dance, who rains His love upon us, and who feeds us upon the way. Good dads keep in step with the Lord, following after Him. Good dads drink down God's grace, producing beautiful fruit, always resting at the oasis of the soul. And good dads eat God's good food with gladness. So, dads, this is a description of our hearts before God. That we eagerly desire God's guidance and leadership in our lives. And that we pursue Him. As He pursues us, we respond. We pursue Him. It is a dance. It is a daily dance. A back and forth. A relationship of joy and gladness that we have with God our Father in heaven. These hearts that dance with God have a certain appearance. The text describes to us, dads, what it looks like. We'll go through it again with specific focus on fathers who have dancing hearts. What's the first thing? They remember the Lord's goodness. Dads, as you relate with God your Father in your times of prayer and meditation and throughout your days, you will remember Him. The text says, you've forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. But we're not those who forget. We're those by the Spirit who remember Him. And that's part of our dance. He speaks to us. He tells us His Word. And we take steps to remember. Next, we love the Lord's correction. Verse 5 says, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. Dads, when we go through tough times, we can smile. This isn't about being pacifist. This is about having the right attitude in every situation. Yes, we turn the cheek when we're struck, but we do so because we love our Father's correction. We love everything that God does in our lives, and it gives us a conquering attitude in the midst of any situation. We remember what our Father says to us. We take steps to remember what He says. Our lives are built around His Word. If someone videotaped your life and showed it back, would it show a man who is taking steps to remember God's Word? Would it show a man who is filled with gladness at his father's corrections? Next, we rest in the Lord's scourges. The text says, "For whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives." The good dad knows that God receives him. Dads, do you know that? That God has received you in Christ? And so therefore, we are crying out, "Abba, Father," running to our daddy's lap at all times, under God's tender care always, even during the father's discipline. Is this true of you, Dad? Remembering the words that He's spoken to you, having the right attitude towards difficulties in your life, and always resting in His scourges. You know, sometimes when a child gets a spanking, they squirm and scream and try to get away.
Me too.
But that's not the image here. Dads, when the father has you over his knee, do you squirm and scream, or do you rest in his care and receive his tender, loving discipline in your own life? As you do this and move forward, you will have patience. Dads, is there a sign of endurance in your life under God's sanctifying hand, under the Heavenly Father who is there to strengthen you? Perseverance. The text says, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. Good dads, stay in God's lap all the way to the end and beyond. Good dads, do not break away from God's correction, but rather receive it because God receives them. Dads, remember the words of their Heavenly Father. Dads, love the correction of their Heavenly Father. Dads, rest in the lap of their Heavenly Father to the end. Good dads, receive it and grow stronger and with greater love towards God, knowing that God receives them. There's a respect and a subjection that is revealed in this process by good dads. Good dads will reveal to their children subjection and reverence by their relationship with God. The text tells us, we have had human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? Good dads are humble. Good dads quickly repent. Good dads show their families what it means to be in subjection to God the Father. They gladly submit themselves to the Lord with hearts of respect and trust towards God. And this also means that good dads respectfully submit themselves to the institutions that God has ordained in the earth. Good dads will honor their church leaders, and good dads will honor their civil magistrates. Even when they disagree with them, there will be honor and respect that good dads will show forth towards all the God-ordained institutions of the earth. Good dads show their children, show their wives, what glorious submission and reverence look like. Good dads dance with God. And as they do this, they remember His Word. They're glad for His correction. They rest in His embrace, even as He's spanking them. They persevere to the end. They grow in strength. Dads have muscles of faith that the wives and the children go, "Man, look at my dad. Ooh, yeah. Look at my dad. Ooh, yeah." Right? But it's not his muscles on his body that they're looking at. It's that strong and beautiful faith that they're pointing out when they see their dad growing in faith like that. And this is a dad who's strong in his complete submission to God and to God-ordained institutions in the earth. And what happens? This dad will yield fruit inside that family and in his life. Dads, is there the peaceable fruit of righteousness in your life? good dads reveal the fruit of the Christian life as they enjoy the Lord. Dads, are we pictures of peaceable fruit of righteousness inside our homes as you deal with your wives, as we deal with our children, as we deal with difficulties? This is peaceable, giving a steadiness and a joy to your home, even in the midst of difficulties. So good dads have dancing hearts that enjoy God and enjoy Him in the midst of difficulties. Enjoy remembering His good words to them. Enjoy all the difficulties of life because they know He's giving them greater faith, making them more glorious, and they enjoy the fruits of peaceable righteousness that are born in them and through them. This is what it looks like to be a good dad who's dancing with the Father, partaking of God's holiness. Now, next, a good dad will reveal this faith, because we know that faith without works is dead. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. This that I'm discussing with you will show itself in a few key places inside of your home, dads. Number one, these hearts that are dancing with God the Father will be moved to husband their wives. Husband is not just the name of a position. Husband is what we do. We care for our wives. We lay down our lives for them. We love them the way that Jesus Christ loves the church. Good dads take care of their wives the way that Jesus Christ takes care of His church. Children not only watch how dad treats God, that's what I talked about to begin with, dancing with the Father, enjoying God. Children watch how dad treats mom. Now this is a lot more obvious. You know, if your prayer time's absent, dad, if your joy in the Lord is lacking, it may not be obvious. But guess what? There's a real life person that God has placed in our lives. She's sitting right next to you. And it is in that relationship that God first shows you the level of your faith, shows you the level of your dance with God Himself. And it is another place, another way that dads are a living example to their family. We are not only dads living examples of God the Father, we are also living examples of Jesus Christ's relationship with His bride, the church. Either telling the truth imperfectly, not completely, telling the truth about Jesus through unselfish, sacrificial lives of service to our wives, or telling lies about Jesus through forms of unchristlike behavior in our home, whether it be abdication and neglect, or whether it be domination and abuse, whatever kinds of selfish ways that a man can be present in the home. Ephesians 5:22 through 29 teaches us, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church." Love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. Dads, we are examples before our families of Jesus Christ, for good or for ill. We tell the truth about Jesus Christ's love for His bride, or we tell lies. To the extent that we lay down our lives for our wives, the way that Christ laid down His life for the church, we tell the truth. And to the extent that we keep back our lives for ourselves and refuse to lay down our lives for our wives, we lie about Jesus. Jesus Christ laid down His life for His church. And by doing so, He secured His bride unto Himself forever. Christ's selfless act of atonement secured His beloved unto Himself forever. And this was unto sanctification. You see, Christ died first. There could be no sanctification apart from Christ's first dying for our sins. Now we know these things. This is Christianity 101. But we need to emphasize these points as we consider, dads, what it means to love our wives the way that Christ loves His bride. Because good dads give away their own lives on behalf of their wives. Young men, when you get married, what you are doing is you are agreeing to die. You are agreeing to give your life away. That is what marriage is. It is complete self-denial for the good of another single human being. That is what marriage is. Young men, fathers, that's what we are called to. And when we give everything we have for our wives, when we consider our time and our resources, our body, our own desires, everything, all of these things are given to us as ways to lay down our lives for our wives. Good dads, what this boils down to, good dads are the chief servants inside the home. Good dads are seeking ways to serve their wives. Now what happens when a good dad does this? I'll tell you what happens. Glory inside the home. And apart from it, there's no glory. See, because what happens when we try to accomplish sanctification, dads, when we try to contribute to sanctification, we want to be like Jesus, right, who washes His church in His Word. That's the next thing we're called to. If you haven't died first, middle, and last, dads, your teaching plan is of no use. Your words will have very little effect. Because our wives and kids can spot a hypocrite from a mile away. And that's what this is. It's called hypocrisy. To try to lead without first dying is called hypocrisy. And these words are sharp knives in my soul. If you could come and live in my house, you would know that I have 100 ways I need to repent right now. Of selfishness, of hanging on to my own time and my own life and my own desires. So dads, take a look at your lives and ask yourselves, are you loving your wives the way that Christ loves the church? Because when this happens, good dads have this true place of real meekness, which is humble power and influence to teach their wives and children. Now, children, I know you're sitting here and you're saying, amen to that. Amen to that. I know my children are sitting here, and when I have been a bad dad and my life has told lies about Jesus Christ and about God the Father on that day or that week, and I somehow try to sit down and lead them through family worship, It's like we're in a black hole. But on those times where by God's grace, there's been Christ-likeness and dancing heart with the Father, it doesn't matter what I say. There's a sweetness present, that there's a listening that occurs, and there's a union of minds that takes place, and a washing with the Word and a sanctification that occurs. So next, dancing hearts, fathers, when we're in that relationship with God the Father like we should be, and we're loving thus as a result of that, loving our wives the way that Christ loves the church, we will also have correct hearts towards our children. You see, all of these things are a part of the same sweet stew. God mixes it all together in the life of the good dad. Just like God our Father loves us and receives us and corrects us for our good to be partakers of His holiness, good dads will love and receive and correct their children unto becoming partakers of God's holiness. So good dads will have this posture towards their children. They'll love them. They'll receive them. They will correct them unto, for the purpose of making them partakers of God's holiness. Good dads turn their hearts toward their children because good dads have turned their hearts towards God, and these good dads desire most for their children to become partakers of God's holiness along with them. So good dads say, let's dance with the Lord together. Good dads say, let's drink in the rain of God's goodness together. Good dads say, let's feast upon the Lord together. Good dads call their children to the same feasting that is going on in their own souls. And there's no other way to do it. There's no replacement for it, dads. If your hearts aren't dancing with the Lord, you have nothing to offer your wives. If your hearts are not dancing with the Lord, you have nothing to offer your children. The good news is, oh dads, if we are feasting upon the Lord, if we are trusting in Him even the littlest bit, there is that flame of gladness present in us that leads to this kind of certain joy and victory in our relationships with our wives and with our children. You've heard me talk about this text before. It's the entry text from our liturgy today, Malachi chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. And of course, you remember that this is the promise quoted to Zechariah when he is told that his wife Elizabeth, who had been barren, will bear John the Baptist. The old covenant writings close with this promise. The new covenant writings open with this promise. The gospel of Jesus Christ connects the hearts of fathers with their children. And this occurs because these dads love Jesus, and their lives reflect it. And these dads end up loving their wives the way that Jesus loves His church. And that glory is revealed in their home. And then these dads, they turn their hearts towards their children. Not towards their jobs. Not towards evangelism outside the home. Not towards building a church. First, the blessing of the gospel of Jesus Christ is two things. God our Father blesses covenant homes with love for His beautiful law and with joyful parent-child relationships. Do you want to know what the two things are that are described to us as the gospel alive in a home? Love for God's glorious law and beautiful parent-child relationships. Dads, Are your hearts towards your children? I'm going to ask some questions later, and I will tell you these questions have revealed to me my heart has not been toward my children like it should be. I have been distracted. And tracing it back, I have not been loving my wife. Tracing it back, I've not been dancing with God. These are points of repentance in my life that I'm sharing with you. Next, dancing hearts lead to tender hands. The text really emphasizes to us dad's chastening love. So when we look at God our Father and His loving discipline, first we see His care and His devotion to us. So as I go into chastening, remember, it's based upon this devotion that's present in the home. Apart from husbands loving wives, laying down their lives for their wives, apart from a dad who reveals the peaceable fruit of righteousness through his own worship of God, apart from the aroma of the gospel alive in that dad, chastening is not loving. So it has to take place in that context. In today's world, we're often exposed to voices that teach us lies about parenting. So part of my plea to us fathers is for us all to examine perhaps some lies that we have believed about chastening. We've been exposed to many voices that lie to us. Let's don't listen to these lies. Instead, let's listen to the Word of God about what it means to be a loving Father who chastens our children. The key text, I believe, that gives us the overview of Christian parenting, practically speaking, is Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Now, as an example, we have been lied to about this concept of time out. I will tell you what the Bible says about time out. A child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Time out is one of the lies that we've been fed by modern psychologists who do not acknowledge sin and who do not acknowledge the gospel and who do not acknowledge the Word of God as the standard for all of life. Another lie that we're told is that all spankings are abuse. That's another lie that is present in our culture today. Again, a lie fed to us by those who do not submit to the Word of God. We will be taught often that reproof is the only thing that matters in the life of a child. And that if you teach them enough and talk to them enough, that they will eventually change and become the people that you want them to become. And so the combination there is rod is all bad, reproof is always good, and we're told this lie about parenting. So let's identify some of these lies that are out there and let's reject them together today, dads. Let's reject them together today, dads, and see the principles of Christian parenting revealed to us in this simple text. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. So there's two ways that we are called, dads, to engage with our children in order to lead them. Rod and reproof. Two ways. If we leave our children to themselves in either one of these ways, the child becomes ashamed. If we're not spanking, they become ashamed. If we're not reproving them, they become ashamed. If we're not combining the rod and reproof in wisdom as good dads, our children grow up to bring shame to their mother. That's what the Bible tells us. So first of all, the rod. Very simple. Good dads spank their children when their children stray outside of God's righteousness. Okay? Now, this doesn't mean that every infraction equals a spanking. That's not what the text is saying. Okay? But what it is saying is that the default setting is a spanking for disobedience. And that you need to think of it that way as you need a reason not to give the spanking. Do you see the difference? Whereas what we've been taught today about the rod is that it has to be a really horrible, horrible, life-threatening infraction in order for them to deserve a spanking. The text includes the rod here before our eyes as if it is a regular part of Christian parenting, in the same way that a shepherd uses his rod to guide and protect the sheep all along the way. And here's why, dads, listen carefully, please. Disobedience is dangerous at any age. It is dangerous physically. They can get hurt. But even more importantly, it can lead to hell. Disobedience, which is brooked by a parent, that is, allowed and not addressed, the reason that child becomes ashamed is because they're left to themselves. That child will grow up, and that disobedience, which seems so cute and nice at that time, will cause them great pain and suffering. And it will break your heart, Dad. God our Father in heaven, when He disciplines us, it's not just for the things that seem like they're big and giant things. God our Father knows what's big, and His sanctification plan is perfect. The text tells us that as parents, we need to give pain to the backside of our little ones. Now, moving on. I probably said enough, but if not, we can talk some more afterward. You might have some questions. Okay? But I'll tell you, there's great pressure on us in today's culture to not spank. There's great pressure in our culture today to treat spanking as the very last resort. Only if they've just run out into a street in front of a car. Only if they've just stuck their finger in a light socket. No, that's not what the text tells us. The regular warp and woof, the regular ebb and flow of Christian parenting includes the rod. Next, reproof. Good dads teach their children about God's righteousness, about loving God, and about loving men. So, and this is a kind and friendly and fatherly and tender instruction that good dads give to their children, and look here, combined with the rod. The timing is critical. Because the other text that I've not put here is that the rod drives foolishness far from a child's heart. You may have been told you can't change a child's heart. Only God can do that. That's another lie we have been taught. Now, we can't provide, we dads cannot do the change, the ultimate change that we want. All we can do is drive foolishness from a child's heart. When a child in a loving environment with a good daddy receives a spanking on their backside and it hurts, there's a moment there where their heart is like a vacuum. The pain teaches them that their heart is like a vacuum. It teaches them, and so their heart becomes like a vacuum. That thing that led to them getting into that spot is no longer interesting to them. It's been driven far from their heart, but it'll come back. It'll come back. So you must teach them at that moment. It's a teachable moment. We have a liturgy. I've probably talked to you about this. We have a liturgy of spanking in my home where we go through why they're getting a spanking. We go through what's going to happen, and we give them their spanking. And then afterwards, we talk to them. We love on them. We let them know that we forgive them, that God forgives them, and that they are called to live in a different way. And we ask them to repent. And they are required to repent. Now, different families will come up with different ways of doing this. But you see the combination there of the rod and reproof. Now, putting this together, there's some words we've heard. Neglect and abuse. Good parents, and there's biblical definitions of neglect and abuse. Good parents never neglect their children, leaving them to themselves. Okay? Now, the wisdom, the balance of wisdom here is based on your child's stage of development and knowing when the rod gets put away and when you turn at that point to reproof. the younger child, more rod, short teaching episodes. As they grow older, they gain and they learn, and they need far fewer spankings because they are learning to walk in the way of righteousness. Bad parents have children that bring shame to them. Bad parents have children that bring shame to them. A child that persistently misbehaves brings shame to his parents. So dads, if any of our children are persistently misbehaving, the Bible says that that appropriately brings shame upon our families, particularly upon the mother, the text says. And that comes through neglect. In this particular text, it comes through neglect. You know, Ephesians chapter 6 gives a word to us fathers that helps us understand what's at stake here. You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. When dads neglect or abuse their children through not using the rod in reproof or through heavy-handedness, we provoke our children to wrath. And an angry child is in big trouble. Dads, check out your children's hearts and see if you find any anger there. Often it will reveal itself on their face. Sometimes it might reveal itself in an outburst. But anger is a sign in your child, usually, that you've provoked them, or could be a sign that you've provoked them. So watch out for that. So as dads, are we dancing with God our Father through worship, through receiving His correction, through resting in Him, through patiently enduring His work in our lives, and revealing the peaceable fruit of righteousness before our families? Are we laying down our lives for our wives, and have we turned our hearts to our children to seek to lead them to be also with us partakers of His holiness? Now, children, I have a word for you. I do have a direct word for you, children. Child's respectful response. Good children, resting in the Lord, will respectfully subject themselves to their parents. Right? That's what the text says good Christians do when we subject ourselves to the Father of spirits and live. We reveal that to our children. Our children learn that, and they do that as well. Just like Jesus did. Just like Jesus did, as we read in Luke chapter 2 today, Jesus Christ subjected Himself to His parents. Now, listen, children, young, middle, olders, as you're going through growing up, there's going to come a time in your life where you're going to think, well, when do I get to make my own decisions? When do I get to do my own thing? Why can't I make my own decisions? There's going to be this part of you that wants to know, when can I make my own choices? Well, one of the answers that comes to you today is that Jesus had every right in glory to make His own choices from start to finish. And yet, He chose to subject Himself to His parents to fulfill all righteousness, to show us the glory of the fifth commandment. Enjoy being subject to your parents because Jesus Christ was. And you reveal the beauty of the gospel when you choose to do that, children. Even after becoming adults, though, when you are free to make your own choices and you don't have to have your parents' approval, a good child resting in the Lord will respectfully seek to follow their mom and dad's advice. A wise child would continue to seek out and strive to follow the parents' advice in the Lord. So a part of honoring our parents through all of our days is always considering them and seeking them out in our decision making. So that would tell us that an unwise child, a child that is not walking in the ways of the Lord is always going to be striving against their parents, always going to be pulling away or pushing back against mom and dad. Instead of valuing the words that your mom and dad have to say to you, because Jesus gave them to you. Jesus gave you, child, listening to me here today, Jesus gave you your mom and dad. And when you choose to listen to them because Jesus gave them to you, then there's a blessing coming your way. There's a blessing coming your way. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. That it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Isn't that fantastic? All you've got to do is just gladly listen to your parents because Jesus gave them to you, and there is this astounding promise given to you, Christian. There it is. That it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. The general overall trend for obedient, parent-honoring children is that they have blessed lives and they live a long time. Wow! Children, please hear that promise and be excited by that. So, questions. Here we go. Dads, where are you? Where are we? Let's listen to these questions together. Are you going after God in your life? How are we giving ourselves to God daily? What is your relationship with God? What is it like? Do you have this dancing heart? Do you hear the word joy and go, yeah? Or do you hear the word joy and go, I don't know, it's kind of drudgery. I just do my duty and, you know, I don't know. Well, you know, man's chief end is to glorify God by enjoying Him forever. And so, dads, there's joy and gladness and rejoicing. Is that true for your life? If not, what are you going to do about it? Next, dads, are we laying down our lives for our wives daily? Are you husbanding your wife? Are you serving her? Are you a tender, caring servant in the home who speaks the word of God from a position of real influence because you have been laying down your life for your wife? What can we do? How do you need to repent? How can you be more like Jesus in your home? Think of some specific ways, some specific things. I need to put my phone away. I think I said that before. But there's lots of different things that I think each of us can be distracted by, man. Are you going after your children's hearts? You know, because without this, we have nothing. You know, the part about the rod and reproof give wisdom. You know, you can spank your kids, you can teach your kids. But if you have not earned your children's trust through a life of love and devotion to them, the rod and reproof give wisdom is not going to bear fruit in your family. You won't have, in other words, you won't have true reproof. You won't have true reproof, and the rod will not be within a context of trust and safety. So we need to say no to neglect. Neglect is, you know, a word that means to not do what you're supposed to do, to leave off something you're supposed to do. So neglect, when it comes to parenting, biblical neglect would be to not go after your children's hearts and to not use the rod and to not use reproof. Okay, in the appropriate time, in the appropriate place, with wisdom. So if you said, well, I'm never going to spank, well, that's neglect. If you said, oh, my children don't need to be taught by me, you know, they'll learn it from someplace else, that's neglect. And no abuse. Abuse is really simple in this context. In one regard, that would be all rod and no reproof, right? Using spanking in a way that's harsh and ugly. You know, that's abusive. Dad, we don't do that. God the Father never does that towards us. God the Father is never harsh towards us as children. Children, where are you? Questions for you children. Have you turned your heart toward your dad and mom? See? That's something that God does, but it's also a decision that you make. Have you turned your heart toward your mom and dad? Have you chosen to submit yourself like Jesus, to make yourself subject to your parents, and to go after their heart, to learn from them, to listen to them, to seek them out for all teaching that they can give to you while you're living in their home? Have you made that choice to turn your heart toward your mom and your dad? Children, are there other voices in your life? Are there other voices in your life that are telling you not to turn your heart toward your mom and dad? Voices that are asking you to turn your heart elsewhere? Voices that are asking you to give greater or equal weight to other influences besides your mom and dad? You see, these are dangerous things. The word there is called undermining parental authority and position. Moms and dads were called to watch out for that, but children, you are too. You are too. What things are present in your life, perhaps, that are drawing you away from mom and dad? Children, final question, and we'll be all done. Do you look beyond your mom and dad? You look beyond your mom and dad, understanding that as you love and obey your mom and dad, that you're loving Jesus. Because that's what we're after, right, dads? That's what we're after. We're after our children looking unto Jesus and feasting on Him with us. And so, children, you know, that's what we're calling you to. You subject yourselves to mom and dad, and remember, it's in the Lord. So are you looking beyond your mom and dad, looking to Jesus, and seeking to learn how to also be one who has a dancing heart? Let's pray. Dear Lord, we ask you to pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, dads, that we would be those who do enjoy you, that we bring you glory by enjoying you for all time, every day, and that our relationship with you, O God, would be so real and powerful in our lives that we would love our wives the way that Christ loves his church, that we would have our hearts turned toward our children, and that we would experience the sweet, sweet fruit of covenantal blessings in our homes and in our assembly and in our culture. In Jesus' name.